It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Morena, Mayor Phil Goff, how are you?
Morena, Rachel. Well, I'm just a bit overwhelmed with the latest news, breaking news of Todd Muller resigning. I think that must be one of the shortest-lived tenures of Leader of the Opposition ever. And you've got a feel for the guy, really. Mm. I mean, I think he's a decent guy. And just found, as I'm probably in a better position to tell than most, that the demands of the job were just overwhelming, and things don't always go as you plan, and you don't control everything that you'd like to be in control of that's happening around you. So, but just the explanation he gave you, you really had to feel sorry for him and the pressure that it's put him under. It's I survived 3 years in the job, which was quite long enough. It's a good job if it's on a pathway to something else, and not such a good job if you're just leader of the opposition. So there you go. So we wish him well, and getting back to on his feet, and big challenge for the National Party now, which
certainly
will be seen to be totally at sixes and sevens. So, it's, a week's a long time in politics, they say.
A week certainly is a long time in politics. A lot can happen in 10 minutes, as we have very much seen this morning. So, yes, you're quite right on those points there. Hey, we've got some topics to talk about today that we have touched base with you before, but I thought we should, check in on how it's going, especially with the emergency budget and the feedback that has been received by the council. What can you tell us about what you got back from the feedback process?
Yeah, well, there's some other breaking news there. I did want to know whether the government was going to provide assistance through the shovel-ready projects, because this is undoubtedly the toughest budget that any council, any Auckland council, has ever faced. First of all, the half-billion-dollar hole because of a loss of income through COVID-19. And then in the last couple of weeks, another quarter of $1 billion on top of that to try to strengthen Auckland's water supply. This is money that would have been spent, over the next decade, but now has to be brought forward into this financial year, probably at the very worst time, given that we were already grappling with a severe loss of income.
Mm-hmm.
But it has to be done because we need to take every step we can to secure Auckland's water supply. So, basically, we were faced with a three-quarters of $1 billion hole in our budget, and I was on to the government over the last few days to say, listen, if you're going to do something in the shovel-ready area, let us know, because that will be that will sort of at least assist slightly towards the challenge that we've got. And last night I got a letter from the Minister of Finance and the Minister for Economic Development to say that there will be a $98 million grant towards areas that we have currently got within the budget.
So which projects is this specifically going to be helping?
They haven't specified the projects.
Right.
But what it means is basically, I don't want to sound negative about it. It takes down our deficit from $750 million to $650
million. Right.
And they do provide another $98 million for unbudgeted projects that will be good for Auckland, that will be done through council. We can bring forward, but it doesn't further help our budgetary position. So, that helps. We've got to put the budget to bed this Thursday, but we are faced with a situation when you lose that level of income.
Yes.
We first of all, as you'll recall, we had to lay off 600 what we call contingency workers, people who were on temporary contracts or contracted workers. And last week we had to announce 500 permanent workers will also be laid off.
That really
hurts. But with that loss of income, we do have to become a leaner and a smaller organisation.
This might be the case, but we have seen a little bit of criticism from the unions about perhaps the way that this has been rolled out. Do you think that there is some justification to those calls, that there wasn't enough time for proper consultation with the people who are losing their jobs?
Look, it's really difficult because we didn't get any notice that suddenly our income would drop by $500 million. And what our first obligation, of course, is to manage the finances of the city in a responsible and a prudent way. Nobody comes into this job to say, look, I've come in here to cut services and to reduce the amount of investment in new infrastructure and to lay off staff. But we've looked at all options, and we've looked at a whole range of levers that will enable us to deal with this, the shock loss of income. So what we will do is we will get through this, and we'll get through it maintaining our key services. We'll get through it maintaining most of the investment that we need to make in infrastructure to help stimulate the economy and create new jobs at a time of the COVID-19 recession.
Mm-hmm.
But will it hurt along the way? Absolutely it will hurt. And, my heart goes out to, good loyal members of staff that through no fault of their own will have lost their jobs.
I did just want to touch base on something that is sort of related to this, because it, I guess people have been drawing connections with it in the media. We have seen in the last week that Team New Zealand has been renting the Viaduct headquarters for $1 a year, and this is apparently resulting in a $13 million loss of revenue for Auckland Council. And people have been perhaps fairly or unfairly drawing lines between the big deficit that we're seeing with the council, but also this seemingly looking like a bit of a favour being done for Team New Zealand here. What is going on with this very, very low rent, $1 a year for the Viaduct Centre? What's this about, Phil?
Well, I know it was a shock horror probe story in the Herald on Saturday, but actually that was public news, and that was part of the council's contribution to the America's Cup and announced as such right at the beginning. So I think the total cost of the America's Cup was about $250 million. Council met $113 million of that, and 13 of that $113 million was in foregone income on the Viaduct Event Centre. So that was a budgeted part of our contribution. Council neglected, well, didn't neglect it, that I refused to put money towards a host agreement of $40 million, which is the sum in contention at the moment with the America's Cup Events Limited. So most of what we have spent, we've spent in infrastructure that will have legacy value for the city for the future. So, you look at Wynyard Wharf and it was dilapidated. It was in a dire need of repair. That's been repaired. We've put new breakwaters in. We've put a new area out on Hobson Wharf. We've cleaned up the sewage outflow into the harbour from Daldy Street there. All of those things which were important for the America's Cup, but were also important for Auckland in the long term. So, once the America's Cup is over, I think we've given... there's a space of a year before the rent on the Viaduct Event Centre would return to commercial levels. And I've had discussions with and signals from the America's Cup team that they will want to move out of that centre probably before their lease expires, and before they obviously would be required to pay commercial rent. So, everybody wanted the America's Cup in Auckland. It would showcase the city to the world, and it will still do that. It will showcase our sportsmanship, our beautiful harbour and Gulf Islands, and our yachting technology. What it won't do, unfortunately, because of COVID-19, is bring in the huge levels of economic income that normally the America's Cup would have brought to the city, as it did in the past.
Well, we have just got to jump into the news in a couple of minutes, so I just wanted to touch briefly on Matariki, which is, of course, this week. And what is the Auckland Council doing with Matariki? I know there are a few events happening around Tamaki Makaurau.
Yeah, well, our program comes to an end, and I think probably tomorrow.
Mm.
But we traditionally celebrate Matariki, the Māori New Year, which is a time, as New Years are, to look back, to remember those who have passed on, but also to look forward and plan for the future. So there have been a range of things done in the city. Waikato Tainui was the Manaaki group this year, the host group for all of the iwi. So there was a big opening over in Devonport to celebrate the occasion. There have been a range of of probably lower key level events than would normally be the case, simply because of the, you know, the ongoing impact of COVID-19. But it is something to celebrate, and it is something that I hope in due course will become a date. You know, maybe it will replace other public holidays that commemorate things that will become less significant for the future of New Zealand, and we'll have something, that will commemorate Matariki by way of a public holiday. But that's a decision for central government rather than me, so I can't make any promises on that.
Well, it's good to hear your opinion on it, though. Thank you so much for your time this morning, Phil Goff. It's always a pleasure.
Okay, thanks,
we'll talk
Rachel.
To you again next week.
Good to talk to you again.
Cheers.
Bye.
Bye.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
It certainly